privilege we have, Lord. Every morning, Sunday after Sunday, we can get together freely as your people and just honor you and give you thanks and praise and glorify you for your goodness. And right there where you're seated, let us meditate on this truth, regardless of how we feel this morning. You know, oftentimes in Christian circles, we talk about, did you feel the presence of God? Can you feel the anointing? And if we're really honest with each other, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we're just empty shells of people where all we feel is tired and weary and frustrated and burdened. We feel negative and we feel down. We don't feel we have a positive outlook on the future. But my encouragement, God's encouragement, in fact, to all of us this morning is that regardless of how we feel, it does not change who He is. He's still very much alive. He's still all-powerful. He's almighty. He's ready, willing, and able to do the impossible. He's a very present help in time of need. He's given us faith to believe in Him. We don't have to muster it up ourselves or get it from somewhere. He's given us faith to believe in Him. And it is impossible to please God without faith. And those who come to Him must believe that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And that's who we come to this morning, Lord God, You. Regardless of how we feel, it doesn't change who You are. You're still the miracle-working God of the Bible. You're still the one who loved us so much that You sent Jesus Christ to die in our place. You're still the one who has risen from the dead. You've given us that promise. You said, go into the world, make disciples of all nations, teaching them and reminding them of everything that I've taught you, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then You also promised, and I will be with you even till the end of this age. And that's the age where we are in now, Lord God, the last age. Maybe not the last generation, I don't know, but most certainly the last age before the return of Jesus. Before You come and rapture Your church, Lord God. Before everything is said and done. And while the world is seeing, some of them, most of them don't know that the Bible is literally being played out in front of their very eyes. For those who know, thank You that we can take courage in that this morning. And as we take a few minutes to look at Your word, Holy Spirit, would You move beyond the limitations of my speech? I've got nothing to say to Your people, to myself also, Lord, that can change our lives. But we trust, Holy Spirit, that You speak into our hearts, that You bring the difference that we need. Every man, woman, and child that sits under Your word this morning, Lord God, can receive from You. And we come to be changed, to be challenged, to become more like Jesus. And we thank You for that in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. High five somebody around you for the love of Jesus. Hallelujah. So good to see people smiling. We have, you know, the list of reasons to complain, we can complain. But the list of reasons to rejoice are a lot, lot more. Amen. Okay, we're continuing with our sermon series on The World Needs a Father. To recap, last week we spoke about the ways in which we love each other and the ways in which God expects us to love and the different standards. We also looked at the men. We got wrapped on the knuckles last week, didn't we? Good to see you, Brad. Bless you, my bud. I forgot your name, sweetheart, but I'm going to find out after the service. Good to see you guys again. Brad is the first hunter that actually kept his word and took me on a hunting trip. So he's responsible for this vegetarian shooting meat for you Oaks. Bless you guys. We looked at how if we, this whole thing is about the world needs a father and how God wants to reveal His father heart to fathers that have seen the heart of God, who then reveal the heart of God to their children. And the ways in which we can honor our children or to love our children is to show them how much we love their mothers. You want to show the heart of the father to your children, show them how much you love their mothers. And we looked at how we can We can honor our wives. It's easy to honor our wives in public context sometimes, but the honoring really takes place in the deep recesses of our hearts and in our thought lives and what goes on there. So we're getting to an interesting time in this series on The World Needs a Father, and you're going to hear this often. What we want to start focusing on this morning is the four primary responsibilities of a father. A father has four primary responsibilities, and we're only going to be able to do one this morning. So I'm going to go through the four of them just quickly so that you can start hearing it week after week after week, because the advertising experts have worked out that it takes approximately 19 times to see an advertisement of something before you make a buying decision. So we're going to hear it many times over. So the men in this church are going to know what the primary responsibilities of a father are. Are we okay with that, gentlemen? Ladies, are you okay with that? You might think, well, Mozzie, isn't it about time you start speaking about the chicks as well? Well, chicks, I want to tell you something. This is just as important for you, because what it does for the ladies is it teaches the ladies how to specifically pray for their men. Because you will know just as much as your men, what are the biblical requirements? What are the four primary responsibilities? So you'll be able to pray into the life of your spouse to make sure that he's able to live this out. So hold on to your seats. This is going to be powerful. It's going to be life-changing, very informative. And God's prayer and God's heart is that it's transformative, that it changes our lives. So the four primary responsibilities of a father is, number one, to establish authority. Spiritual and moral. He needs to establish authority. The second primary responsibility is to confer identity. How many of you know that in the world of identity and gender confusion today, people need to know their identity, not just biologically, but also who they are in Christ Jesus. When we don't know who we are, we try and become something that we've never meant to be. We try and become square pegs being forced into round holes. The third responsibility is to provide security. To provide security, emotional and spiritual security in the home. And the fourth responsibility is to affirm potential. And you're going to see how powerful this is in the sense that God speaks this over Jesus, and he fulfills all four of these primary roles when he speaks over Jesus. And he says, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." But we're going to get to that in later teachings. This morning we want to focus on the first responsibility of the man. The primary responsibility of a man, gentlemen, is to establish authority. Okay, so we'll be using the word father a lot, but ladies, understand, don't switch off. It's for you as well, because it helps you understand the specific areas in which to pray into your man's life for. Because how many of you know that men, we need helpers. Men, we need helpers. That was a good place for the ladies to say, amen. It's critical that a father understands that he should be representing godly authority in the home. Godly authority in the home. Nie ek is die baas, want die Bybel sê so. Not your own authority. You see, because you can get people to do what you want them to do out of fear, or out of just, they're just tired of you nagging, or they're just trying to maintain peace in the home, or you can get people to understand the authority that's being represented here is godly authority. Who'd like to venture a guess this morning? Why did God choose men to be the head of the home? One offering is that they got more brains. Why did God choose men to be the head of the home? Because he's God. He can do what he wants. For men, we are not better. We are not better. God just chose the men to be the head of the home. That's the way. God is God over all. Jesus is head of the church. God is over Jesus. Jesus is head of the man, and that God has appointed men to be the head of them. Not the boss, but to represent the godly authority. So when we say that the man's primary responsibility in the home is to be the authority, is to represent godly authority. Not ek soos, want ek is die baas. You represent godly authority. The man needs to understand this. And simply put, children need to understand, why is disobedience to parents, and I'm going to say this as lovingly as I can, why is disobedience to parents such a satanic thing? You say, Mozzie, that's like harsh. I mean, a naughty kid is a naughty kid. Mense, ek kom van die duivel af. Hoor wat die Heilige Gees vanoggend vir ons sê. Listen to what God. Why is it satanic? Because what's happening is, the child is not just being disobedient to its parent. It's kicking against godly established authority. That means you're kicking against God. That's what it is. And then the world wants to come along and tell us how we should discipline children when God has given us clear instructions in the Word of God how to discipline children. You want to see what's so critical? We looked at the statistics, I think the first 3 weeks, this is the fourth week in this, the first 2 weeks at least, about the statistics that fatherlessness has caused in the world today. How many children are being raised without their fathers? We don't want to know why there's lack of discipline. When children rebel against parents, they're kicking against God, the authority that God has established. It's critical for a child to understand that, folks. That's why it's important. A father should have a clear conviction in his heart of his responsibility. Gentlemen, there's a difference between an overwhelming sense of duty and a conviction in your heart. What's the difference? An overwhelming sense of duty is, this is my responsibility and I have to do it. Okay? It has some merits, but a conviction is you have an understanding that God has got a bigger, better purpose for this. This is why God wants his authority in the home. This is why God has appointed me to be the head of the home. And my responsibility is to accurately represent God's heart in my home. Wow. Gentlemen, what a huge responsibility. So it's not me enforcing my ideas, my rules, my regulations. Somebody is the head of the home saying, sure, I'm representing God here. Gentlemen, how well are we representing God in our homes now? How well are we representing God in our homes? So a father should have a conviction of this in his heart, that his authority is given to him from God. It's a conviction that we live by. And to strengthen his conviction, a father must clearly know what God's mission is. So men, ask yourself this question. Myself, what is God's mission? Right there where you sit, just think about it. What is God's mission? If I'm the godly representative of godly authority in the home, and I'm here to fulfill God's mission, what is God's mission? What is God's mission? Jesus taught us about this when he taught us how to pray. This is God's heart all the time. It's simple. And the clue to it is in our church's vision. What is God's mission? His kingdom come and his will be done. Remember we said, how many of you would not like heaven on earth? How many of you would not like heaven in your homes? How many of us want civil warfare in our homes every day? Fighting with the kids, fighting with the parents, disobedient, this not done, that not done, this broken, this missing, this argument, that fight, this moodiness, this grumpiness. No, we want heaven in our homes. And for us to do that, his kingdom come and his will be done. So gentlemen, for us to have a godly conviction in our hearts as to our primary role and responsibilities, my mission on earth is for God's will to be done. God's kingdom come. God's will be done in my home. And it starts with us. So gentlemen, the face that you look in the mirror every morning when you shave or pick your nose or whatever it is that you do in the mirror, you look at that man, you say, that's my mission. That's my mission. His kingdom come. His will be done. The first responsibility of the father is to establish authority, spiritual and moral, in the home. So fathers need to have an understanding and have that conviction in their hearts. When it comes to the kingdom of God, let's ask ourselves this question. As fathers, are we trying to fit God's kingdom into our lives, or are we fitting our lives into God's kingdom? Think about that. How we prioritize our time, our finances, our resources, the focus of our interest all the time. Are we trying to make time for the things of God in our lives? How many of you know how difficult that is? Trying to make time for the things of God in your life. Or are you saying, Lord, my life is submerged in you. It's buried in you. It's devoted in you. It's given to you. There's a huge, huge difference. So I want to say this to you. As a Christian, don't make Jesus part of your life. Please don't make Jesus part of your life. Make Jesus your life. Because the latter, you'll just be existing. You'll just exist. You won't be experiencing the abundant life that Jesus has for you. You won't be experiencing that abundance. You'll just be existing. But when Jesus is your life, you'll experience life in abundance like you've never known it before. And please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm not saying, just give your heart to Jesus. And then it's going to go wonderful. No, all hell is going to break loose. But the difference is you'll not be alone. You'll be part of a universal family. The rewards are out of this world. Literally, your rewards are out of this world. You're part of a universal family. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the Word of God. You have the fellowship of believers. You have the power of prayer. You have the blood of Jesus. You have His written Word. You have the voice of the Spirit speaking to you. All these things. You have His promises spoken over your life. You will not be alone. That's the difference. So when it comes to understanding God's mission, His role for me in the home, in the family, establishing authority, am I trying to fit my life into His kingdom, or His kingdom into my life, or my life into His kingdom? Do we have God's kingdom in our homes? Or listen to this. These are challenging, harsh questions this morning, but we need to ask ourselves these questions, church, if we want to grow. And if we want to be a church that makes a difference in the world. Folks, how's the church going to be relevant if we've got nothing to export to a dying world? You think about that. Yeah, like I'm this preacher oak now. I'm this Jesus person. And I come into a world and I have no answers for the world's issues. If I have no problems for my colleagues at work that are broken, that are feeling negative, that are filled with fear, that are hopeless, that are having relationship issues, that are having financial challenges, that are having health issues. If me as a Christian, if I have no solution, what relevance is my Christianity to them? What relevance is my Christianity to them? Folks, remember we said this. God hasn't just saved us so that we have our fire insurance is in place. We know that we're saved from the flames of hell. Yes, I'm going to heaven. Hallelujah. And it's like cheers. No, we're called to be darkness. We're called to be light in the darkness. Not light in the light. We're called to be light in the darkness. So let's ask ourselves this question. Are our lives submerged and buried in the things of God? Or listen to this. Do we have secular homes with Christians living in them? Sure. Think about that. You say, Mozzie, what is secular? Secular just means that it's outside of the Bible or unscriptural, for want of a better word. Secular. Okay. Do we have secular homes with Christians living in them? Or do we have homes whose foundation is Jesus and the people live out biblical principles? Think about that. And gentlemen, this is a challenge for us. This is a challenge to live in the world while not being of the world. There's a difference. We're in the world. We hurt like everybody else. We pay taxes like everybody else. We're in the world, but not of the world. So to accurately represent godly authority, a father will need to do these six things. And this is what we'll focus on this morning. Number one, dads need to be grounded in the absolute authority of the Word. In other words, the Bible. We say this so lightheartedly, but it is so profoundly true. The Bible is spelled B-I-B-L-E. Basic instructions before leaving earth. There isn't a single phenomenon, aspect, sociological issue, philosophical question. There is nothing in the world that cannot be answered between Genesis and maps. Because the author and creator of everything we see has given us a handbook that tells us how to do it. He sent his son that has shown us how to do it. And if you let him, the Holy Spirit lives inside you and leads you how to do it. So Father needs to be rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Gentlemen, that means I need to read the Bible more than I research the stats on motorcycles, guns, bicycles, cameras, whatever floats your boat. Whatever your hobbies, you need to be in the Word of God more than you need to be in the other things. I understand that on some phones there's a thing, it's like a health thing. Not like a physical health, but it monitors how much time you spend on various apps. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And it shows you how much time you spend on certain things in your phone. Just look at that. Look at that and see, how much time have I spent on this little thing as opposed to in the Word of God? Unless, of course, your Bible app is on your phone, I get that. But, guys, that's a practical way to gauge how much time. And then you get to such a situation, I don't know what to do. If your mind is filled with all of this worldliness and all of this radio boss lace nonsense that the world is feeding you all the time, and you've got to make life impacting choices, and the Word of God in your life is like just running, you pass reserve. The reserve light has been burning so long it's burnt out. There's just fumes there. You want to know why it's so difficult then? Fill yourself up with the Word of God. The entrance of God's Word brings light. His Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto our path. Folks, we're not talking about religious church stuff. We talk about stuff that enables us to live. That's what we're talking about here. So the man, the husband, the father needs to be grounded, absolutely grounded in the authority of God's Word. Number two, he needs to be filled with the Spirit of God. You say, Mozzie, I'm born again. I have the Spirit. That's great. God wants you filled with the Spirit of God. Ephesians 5 and verse 18. Don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5. And verse 18, you might think, oh, well, it's obvious. And folks, it's like this. It's like your car, your bike, your truck, whatever. It needs constant refueling, Same thing with the Spirit of God. Make sure you get filled with the Spirit of God. You can't like empty yourself out of the Spirit of God, but you can become spiritually and emotionally drained that you need to have your spiritual tank filled again. By the things of God. Is that making sense to the gentleman this morning? Point number three. We need to be obeying our purified conscience. So what does that mean, Moz? Well, you get to a place where you surrender your heart to Jesus. You give your life to Jesus. The Holy Spirit makes you born again. Your mind starts to be renewed and changed by the Word of God. It changes the way you think. As your mind gets renewed, the Holy Spirit starts speaking to you. Your born-again spirit starts thinking and acting like Jesus because inside your spirit lives the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. That's the voice that will tell you when you're going to do something that's worldly, that's going to grieve the heart of God, that's going to be unscriptural, that still small voice that says to you, handbrake. That conscience, that purified conscience, it's the voice of the Holy Spirit convicting you. We, as gentlemen, as men, need to obey that. I want to say this. Pay attention to the tension. Pay attention to the tension. Sometimes you'll go into a circumstance. You might want to say something. You might want to act in a certain way. You might want to do something. And you'll feel like a little bit of uneasiness. And folks, sometimes it's very fleeting and it's very, very brief. We sometimes inclined to miss it. That uneasiness is the Holy Spirit saying, whoa, just steady here. Think about this first. Okay, so we need to pay attention to the tension by obeying the purified conscience. James chapter 1, verse 22 to 25. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. Verse 23. For if you listen to the word, but don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. For you see yourself, you walk away, and forget what you look like. It says we mustn't do that. 25. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says, and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Practical example. So you come here this morning, and you listen, and you hear my voice, but the Holy Spirit speaks into your heart, and you go, and then like, by 12 o'clock today, you've already like completely forgotten. That's a practical example. All right? And praise God, somewhere in the week, the Holy Spirit reminds you of something, and when you just ignore it, that's like looking in the mirror and forgetting. Listen. So the third aspect there, gentlemen, that helps us accurately represent the authority of God is by obeying the purified conscience. Point number four. As the leaders in our homes, we need to be confronting immoral issues and not just turning a blind eye. What does that mean? So you see something ungodly taking place in your life. It might start off like a small little thing. Let's use a practical example. So you give your child an instruction, and the child like deliberately disobeys. And you think, I'm just going to let it slide. And then later you let it slide, and you let it slide, and eventually you speak to your child, and they just ignore you. And then you want to come and make a sudden change, and it's a huge radical change for the child, but you've made it difficult because you've established the norm as disobeying mom and dad is okay. They'll let it slide. For example, you say, if your room is not cleared, you're not going to be able to go out to that party tonight. And the room doesn't get cleared, and it's come party time. Cheers, Ma. Cheers, Dan. I'm going to the party. Yeah, okay. What values do you think you're instilling in that child? That what mom and dad says doesn't really go. There's compromise. There's flexibility here. I've told you, return the stolen goods. And they don't return the stolen goods. And remember, folks, what makes this so dangerous is that what's actually happening is the child is rebelling against godly authority. So you need to confront the moral issues in the home. You see a child compromising when it comes to moral things. You need to confront it. Look what happened when King David was confronted with moral failure in his life. How the prophet Nathan had to speak into his life. It had to be confronted. Couldn't just let it slide. Point number five. As men, we need to be submitted to accountability and authority ourselves. We need to be submitted to accountability and authority ourselves. We have to have men in our lives that speak in to our lives. People to whom we hold ourselves accountable. A person can only be a good leader if they are first a good follower. Listen to this. Even God is submitted to the authority of his word. Is there any name that's higher than the name of God? Is there any name under heaven given amongst men by which we can be saved but the name of Jesus? There's no name above God's, right? Listen to what the Bible says about God's name. Psalm 138 and verse 2. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word above all your name. So the name of God is subject to the word of God. Even God is subject to his word. You think about that. So even God understands the authority of his word. So men, we need to be submitted to authority somehow, somewhere, have people speaking into our lives. And the last point for this morning is point number six. We need to be assuming the disciplinary responsibility in our home. Dads need to chastise in love. It's not the mom's responsibility to dish out the physical punishment. You say, well, Mozzie, what are you saying? Die kind het agter die oggend droog gemaak. I was at work. I come home. The missus, the government informs me about what's happened. The government informs me about what's happened, and then I've got to discipline the child. Yes. How do you do that? I suggest a bathroom, a shower is a place of cleansing. Okay. You take the child to the bathroom. You sit the boy down. You say, my boy, I'm not cross with you because you broke the cup. I'm cross with you because the cup can be, you're more important to me than the cup. Okay? But the fact is, mommy told you not to run past the dining room table. You ran past the dining room table. The issue here is that you disobeyed mom. It's not the fact that the cup was broken. You're going to work to replace that cup. But you disobeyed mom. The disobedience is the issue. We love you, we care for you, and therefore, I can't your tuk-tuk. Do you understand? Ja, pa. Whatever. Can you see the difference, gentlemen? So, guys, every single parenting instruction in the Bible is given to the fathers. Not a single one is given to the mothers. So daai ding van, vrou, dis jou kinders, sort hulle uit. Gentlemen, I love you. But if that's your stance, you're avoiding responsibility. All that means is, you're a male in the home, not the man in the home. And this is not pointing fingers at anybody. We're all here to learn. Is that okay? So if you want to have God's kingdom come, His will be done. If you want to have heaven on earth, if you want to have heaven in your home, the primary responsibilities of the man is, establish authority, spiritual and moral. Confer identity, provide security, and affirm potential. I'm done preaching this morning. But let us go home with this. God has given us a responsibility, men. Listen, I do not have the privilege. I'm lost a deep end to come up in the meantime as a good ready to close off one more worship song. I do not have the privilege of having biological children myself. But parents, you know way better than me. You're sending your children out this lewe wereld daar buite. You're sending your precious, precious children into a wild, wicked, crazy, messed up world that is desperate, desperate, desperate for authentic, godly leadership with a rapid, rapid, continuous decline of moral standards. There is no values. There's no regard for life. There's no respect for human beings. There's no respect for women. Where anything and everything goes, people can decide, I want to wake up this morning and I identify as a three-legged penguin. And it's fine with the world. We're sending our children out into that mess, people. We're sending our children out into a world where the world wants to see the authentic, the genuine, the real thing. Not flaky, spineless, wimpy, yellow, livid Christians. They want to see people that represent Jesus, that have the life and the love of Jesus in them, and are filled with the Spirit of God, and that are flint-faced and resolute to see His kingdom come and His will be done. We have this responsibility, if not now, when, and if not you, who? Men, this call of God is going out on our lives to be men of God that represent the heart of God. That listen, so many people rely on the schools and the teachers and youth leaders or whatever to raise their children properly. You know the first line of defense for the moral fiber of a child and the fabric of that child is the father at home. You must be known you're doing such a good job that you have the confidence to leave your kid and know that that child is going to honor the principles that you taught. So when something goes wrong in that child's life, don't start looking to blame whoever. Look at yourself in the mirror and saying, have I accurately represented God? Have I shown the heart of God as has been revealed to me? Am I representing the heart of God in the home? This is the responsibility that we have, gentlemen. And as we sit here this morning and just take some time to ponder this and to pray. Oh Holy Spirit, our prayer is that we recognize the urgency of the hour. Father, the time has come for us to step up to the plate. Indeed, it has been a long time already. You sit here as a father and you think, Mozzie, I don't know how to do this. That's fine. That's fine. Just come to God. Just trust God. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. As we humbly come to God this morning, say, God, I need you, Lord. I need you, Father. There is no greater Father than you. You're the best Father by far. And Holy Spirit, would you begin to teach me? Change my heart. Change my mind, Lord. Change the way I think. And Father, the ways in which my dad has failed me, I forgive him, Lord. I release him, Lord God. He's accountable for what he's done. I'm accountable for what I'm doing right here, right now. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to equip me. Teach me, Lord. Send men into my life, Lord God, and let me lean forward and find men who can speak into my heart and speak into my life. And teach me how to be a God-fearing man, to be a godly husband to my wife, to be a godly father to my precious children. Lord, I pray for a turnaround in the circumstances in my home, Lord. I want to tell the devil this morning, Satan, I put a stop to your schemes in my home in the name of Jesus. I put a stop to your plans in my home in the name of Jesus. I tell you, Satan, to take your hand off the lives of my children, off the lives of my wife and my loved ones, off my business, off our home, off our health. You don't belong there. As the head of the home, as the father, as the man, I submit myself to your lordship this morning, Jesus. And I want to tell you, Satan, that God is for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? I serve notice in you and your plans right now. And for the ladies, I sense in my spirit to say this. If your husband is not in that place in your life, woman, pray. Woman, pray. Pray, pray, pray. You can't change your husband. Only God can. Pray, 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 woman, pray. Stand in the gap for your husband. Plead on the Lord for your husband. Ask the Holy Spirit to change your husband. Pray for your husband. Pray for the man in your home. Pray for him. Pray for him. Lord, as men and women pray this morning, we thank you, Lord God, for transformation in homes, for transformation in lives, Lord, where things change. Lord, I pray for children this morning, Lord. I pray for every strained relationship this morning, Lord, where fathers feel disconnected from their children because of the age gap, and they literally live in a different world. They come from another time, Lord. Lord, I pray that there's that connect there again, that there's that connection, Lord. Father, would you supernaturally, in the name of Jesus, would you bridge the generation gaps, Lord? The difference in interests and hobbies, Lord God, and world views. Would you somehow mend that this morning in the name of Jesus? Thank you that you start to heal homes, Lord, and heal relationships, Lord. Lord God, not when, but if. Not if, but when we fail as men. Thank you that there's grace. Thank you that there's forgiveness. Thank you that we quickly say sorry to our children and to our wives, and especially to you. Say, Lord, we've blown it. We know it. Just forgive us. Fix us, Lord. Make us whole. Make us men. Godly men that accurately represent Jesus in our homes. We thank you for this, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. May Almighty God bless you and keep you. May God make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up his countenance over you and give you supernatural peace. Have a Jesus-filled week. Let's worship the Lord together one more time. Thank you, Deep Ed.